listening to the New Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM, 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be gone. I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM, 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be gone.
Good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. Thank you for tuning in. It's always a privilege to come your way. And I have Pastor Billy with me. This evening we are winding down. God willing, by next week we'll be finishing the SU discussions, the school issues, and all that. And I believe we've learned a lot. This week I was at a conference and the discussion was a bit, it's sad when you hear some of the things that some of the experts are talking about, and you realize it's worrying. So I was very happy when this week the Minister of Education gave a hint, not a hint, actually he asked the GES to bring discipline back to the schools, and this was as a result of the shooting that happened at the SDA school, last week or last 2 weeks. And I believe it's important, because for how long are we going to sit and just watch the system run down? And it's like, well, we can't do anything. GES, it's like, for how long? So it's really important that we get things back on track, because what is the use of education without discipline? It's interesting. Education without discipline, no, it just doesn't work that way. So, Honorable Aaron Edrisu asked the GES to do what has to be done. They have to start inspections and all that. And I believe GES has to, government is not going to stop them from enforcing the right disciplines and all that. So, It's time the headmasters and headmistresses, the house wardens and whatever, house parents, whatever names, house masters and all house mistresses, it's time they take up the mantle of leadership and do what has to be done. Alright, so just a few review of some things happening in the world as well. We have the brutal persecution of Iranian Christians is growing. So Iran's repressive regime executed more than 900 people in 2024 and handed down scores of death sentences for religious-based charges, according to a March report by the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, USCIRF. Research by the UK-based nonprofit Article 18 found that Iranian court sentenced 96 Christians to a combined 263 years in prison in 2024. These troubling statistics represent a 38% increase in the average sentence length and a sixfold increase in the cumulative sentencing compared to 2023. Several Christians received particularly severe sentences of 10 years and over, according to Article 18 report published in January. And the next one, we have a quick one. Pakistan's persecution of Christians hits alarming new heights. So a chilling new report from the Human Rights Focus Pakistan reveals a dramatic escalation in the victimization of religious minorities in Pakistan in the first quarter of 2025, with Christians bearing a disproportionate burden of abuse. International Christian Concern, ICC, condemns the surge, which highlights Pakistan's entrenched failure to protect its most vulnerable citizens. The HRFP findings, detailed in reports by ANI News and Pakistan Christian Post, document a horrifying rise in forced conversions, abductions, sexual violence, and murders targeting Christians and other minorities. You know, the persecution against Christians is something else. And then China moves to formally ban missionary activity. So new regulations released this week by the Chinese Communist Party impose severe restrictions on missionary activity in the country, according to Chinese state media and representatives of the Chinese Communist Party. The regulations, which take effect May 1st, prohibit foreigners from preaching, sharing their faith, or establishing religious organizations without official government approval. Justifying these regulations, Chinese state media claim that the newly revised rules promote national security, a common justification for the CPP persecution of religion, and help to protect normal religious activities, referring to activities run under the strict government oversight as part of state-run religious institutions. You know, this is where, I mean, you have the Chinese government sanctioned churches where they sing patriotic songs in place of religious songs. So, you know, patriotic songs, if you go to church and say, I mean, you are worshiping God, but the songs you are singing are patriotic songs, it tells you the God you are worshiping. I mean, when you have an atheist-based government sanctioning you to worship God, you can imagine the rules. A few years ago, there was this man I did some work for, and he was studying in China doing his PhD, and he was telling me how the Christian Fellowship, the Christians who were studying there, they had to invite a pastor from Ghana, a prophet from Ghana, and they had to request for permission. The whole process was something else. So the approval, the conditions were, one was the program, they shouldn't clap hands, they shouldn't say hallelujah, they shouldn't say amen, they shouldn't, a tall list of things. That then, I mean, to say you are having a Christian program and you have a pastor coming from Ghana, a prophet coming from Ghana, and you are not to do all these things, it's just like you are just like a formal conference type of thing, where there's, I mean, they are forcing you to suppress your Christianity, your spirituality, and I mean, so they've agreed, go on, do it, but don't, no amen, no hallelujah. I've forgotten the list of things they were barred from. So, and if you defy to that one too, they are monitoring.
No, Wanda, not too long ago, there was a company I wanted to buy something from, and the marketing executive officer, in the course of our chat, I asked whether she knows Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And she was asking me, what product is that?
Hey, product.
Yes. I asked her, do you know Jesus Christ? Then she said, what product is that?
On secret.
So when I tried to share my faith with him, then he asked me to send a picture of him.
Wow.
Of a picture of Jesus Christ.
I see.
She hasn't heard of Jesus Christ as a savior. So she thought Jesus is a product.
You know, they suppress the information. You know, their internet is not the same as the rest of the world. So Google, for instance, you can't just be searching. You don't have the Google search as it is there. So to bypass their firewall, their serious iron curtain type of thing, you need to use VPN before you can bypass to access some US sites and all. So it's a very strict system. I mean, most Bibles in the world are printed in China, but China has a scarcity of Bibles.
Yeah.
I mean, it's strictly for exports, finish and exports. So, I mean, if you see, I mean, you can search those online, you can search Google, where when you finish this program, you can search, you see, search YouTube, Chinese receiving Bibles for the first time in rural China and all that. And you can see the tears of joy and the excitement. I mean, it's a contraband good, to have a Bible. So you just can't be moving the Bible around like. So, yes, they are developed. But when it comes to religion, there's a strict suppression by the CCP, the government. And so the persecution is really. And actually, there are some Christians who are really being tracked by the system for spiritual Christian activity, the underground churches and all that. They don't even use smartphone. They don't use smartphone. So it's like the tracking is so severe and intense that they avoid using smartphones just to stay off the radar of the technology to minimize the tracking and all.
And those few people are also able to read and understand Bible study, the Bible more than us. They have time for Bible studies. One person can read a whole book.
Oh, yeah. They are, I mean, there's this video, I don't know whether you've seen it. I've played it on this program some years back, where this American pastor, I think he's in Hawaii, he went to China for a program and like a camp type of thing, and he was amazed about the hours they can endure. He was shocked, and he saw that no, American Christianity is a joke. I mean, what they are doing in America is a joke. And I mean, I always say it on this program that the Eastern Christianity is what is real Christianity, not the Western one, because what we subscribe to is the same Dadaba type, American type of Christianity that. It's like the comforts, I mean, all is well, God will bless you type of thing. But the Eastern Christianity is not about what is blessing? I mean, it's not what, they don't think about those things, they don't pray about those things. What we pray for is completely different from what they pray for in their churches. It's a bit worrying when you do the comparison. So you ask yourself, are we all striving to go to the same heaven? Are we all believing in the same Jesus? I mean, is it the same Holy Spirit operating in all of us? Because their understanding of Christianity, their practice of Christianity, their beliefs, their faith, and all that, compared to what we believe and the way we practice our Christianity, it makes it very worrying, because you realize it's like that type of
people are spending hours to pray for souls across the globe, for people to be saved.
Yeah.
For we are praying for missionaries, they are praying for revival to happen in other parts of the world, but we are praying for ourselves.
it's blessing and nothing more. All right, just the last news item quickly we have. Whenever I get to these statistics by Banner Group and the university research works, sometimes the Arizona Christian University, this one, the headline says, most American Christians don't believe in the Trinity. You know, when you see things like this, then you know that there's big trouble somewhere. But caveat, I always say that, you see, yes, this is American surveys, but it gives us a perspective, because I mean, if we are to do those same surveys here, I dare say we may have, either similar numbers, if not even worse. You see, whatever we are seeing in American church, we are a close parallel to it, largely. So this one says, recent surveys have sparked a wave of discussion about the state of Christian belief in the United States. with findings indicating that a significant number of Christian American Christians may not adhere to the number sorry to the one sorry may not adhere to one of the faith's fundamental doctrines, the Trinity. The concept of the Trinity, that God exists as three distinct but inseparable persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in one divine being, has been a cornerstone of the Orthodox Christianity for centuries. However, new data suggests that this belief is not as widely held among American Christians as previously assumed. A survey conducted by the Cultural Research Center at the University, Arizona Christian University, reported by the Christian Post on March 30th, 2025, revealed striking numbers. Based on responses from 2,100 adults collected in January, only 11% of American adults and a mere 16% of self-proclaimed Christians affirm belief in the traditional doctrine of the Trinity. That's serious. 11%. And 16% of self-acclaimed or self-proclaimed Christians. That's it's very, very serious. The survey found that just 40% of respondents believe in a God who actively affects people's lives, signaling a broader shift in the theological understanding. George Banner, the lead researcher, expressed concern over the findings, noting that many Americans appear uninformed about the core biblical teachings, including the Trinity, the Ten Commandments, and the concepts like repentance and salvation. then what Christianity do you believe in then? I mean, these are the fundamentals. If you have a problem with the Trinity, the Ten Commandments, concepts like repentance. I mean, if you don't repent, how do you become a Christian? And salvation. So how did you become saved? And these people will say they are Christians. So what type of Christianity, are they holding on to? This isn't the first time such trends have been observed. In 2021, study by Lifeway Research, referenced in a Christianity Today article, similarly highlighted theological confusion amongst American Christians. Okay. So that survey found that while 72% of Americans agreed with the statement, there is one true God in three persons, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, a deeper dive revealed inconsistencies. Nearly half of those surveyed also endorsed statements contradicting Trinitarian orthodoxy, such as the belief that Jesus was a great teacher, but not God, suggesting a lack of clarity or commitment to the doctrine. Adding to this conversation, a Newsweek piece from earlier this year cited the Arizona Christian University survey, emphasizing the cultural implications of these findings. The article quoted Banner lamenting that influential voices shaping American spirituality today might not be the theologians or pastors, but rather media figures like Joe Reagan, Jordan Peterson, Bill Maher, and others. These are all podcasters, none of whom are traditional religious authorities. This shift, Banner argued, could explain the erosion of orthodox beliefs like the Trinity among the general population. The reaction to these findings has been mixed. Some church leaders see it as a call to action. This is disturbing, And as I said, if you are to call 10 youth or teenagers, Christian teenagers, youths in our churches and all that, and ask them these surveys, the same questions, I will not be surprised if go to our university, KNUST, and go and do the survey there among the Christians, from the PENSA to the APSU to the various unions, the Christian groups, you will find people who still hold on to these type of beliefs there. There's a worrying trend, because you see, people are just seeing Christianity as just a social club.
Yes.
Like, it's trending. The girls, my boys, everybody's going to Charlie Abikrife. It looks, nice. So if you two belong to it, it fits, But the lifestyle, and if salvation itself, we don't believe the concept of salvation, you have a problem with it. Then how did you become? Because to be a Christian, salvation is the foundation.
Yeah.
So how did they become Christians to the point where they say they are Christians, but they don't? They have issues with the concept of salvation.
That's where you have the missing link. Because those days where scriptures about salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Once you are Christian, you know it by as we say it. Mm-hmm. So as you begin to recite those verses, then you believe and you want to work with it. But no, I mean, these days, how many people can even recite even Bible quotation apart from those that you are using to claim things for yourself?
You know, as we are saying this, this comes to mind. The problem also points to the lack of discipleship in most churches now. So yes, crusades are done. We had this number of souls, we gave this number of salvation cards, we make all the noise about it, we write it in reports and all that. Then okay, these people were saved. What next? Where are they?
Because we used to have beginner's class,
yes,
intermediate and maturity class.
Uh-huh.
So you go through this process and help you to grow. Yes.
No.
Whether if you come to church and you are even with a different church, mm-hmm, I used to worship, that you have to go through, irrespective of your background, you must go through. So you go through
classes.
Beginner's class, you go through intermediate, you go through maturity.
Yeah.
Then we can say that yes, you've grown or matured in Christ.
Yeah.
But these days, I mean, we don't even have time for those things. So how do we take the people through so that they can mature in Christ? Then that is what is missing in the church now.
And this what is causing this.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have any roots in the faith they proclaim to believe in. You see, so, okay, someone went out, gave out tracts. Oh, okay, do you want to be a Christian? Okay, yes, okay, I'll be a Christian. That's how some even do this. So okay, our church is here. Okay, Sunday I'll come and call you. Okay, he comes. When he comes to church, the preaching is nothing about salvation, because it's the normal service as it is. And it's amazing that now I think altar call is even becoming old school. Most churches now, there's even no altar call again. So this person comes to the church, the normal preaching goes on, and if, well, whatever reason, it's a good service, the preaching was good and all that, it tickles his emotions and it feels good. Oh, Charlie, okay, I'll stay in this church. Oh, it's a good church. Next week I'll come. Then he's now a member. He fills a form. He's given a tithe card. That is it. Bona fide member of the church. So you have these type of people in the church, and 1 year passes, 2 year passes, 3 year passes. Oh, Charlie, he starts speaking in tongues and he's moving mountains with big tongues, and that is it. So we classify these are the super leaders, because after a few years now he's given a position. Oh, okay, he rises, okay, head of ushers, or he's a good singer, he's leading the choir, then he's a leader in the church. But the foundation, it's not there.
Yeah.
And this is worrying, because once there's no discipleship, the person has no roots in the faith.
And people are even in the church and they have not even accepted Christ because there was no altar call. I remember years ago, one of the bishop, Abubakar of Methodist Church, mm-hmm, says that everybody has a day for his or her salvation.
Yeah.
So if you're a preacher and you get opportunity to minister to people, give them that opportunity to accept Christ.
Yeah.
Because there's a day that somebody will get to know Christ or accept Christ. So once you preach the message, you don't know that very day might be the day for somebody. So give that person an opportunity. But these days we preach and there's no altar call for people to accept Christ. Just pass through and are given positions without knowing Christ.
Yeah.
When it comes to service, anybody can serve in the church.
Oh yeah.
Anybody can serve. And we have a lot of people who are really serving the church, but they are not serving
Christ. Yeah. It's about the church.
So we fight for positions in church. Mm-hmm. We fight for all kinds of things. We want to be seen. We want to be heard.
Yeah.
But Christ is not hearing us, and we are not also hearing from him.
And it's very, you know, I mean, maybe we just have to finish discuss this for tonight, and then God knows we'll go back. God, you see, these are the fundamentals of the problems we are having in the body of Christ, as we all complain about. Because you see, if we don't get the foundation right, then the type of Christians that we get in our churches and all the groups and whatever fellowships and everything, I mean, it's virtually using baskets to fetch water.
Mm.
Because if we don't correct, I mean, as the saying goes, if you do the same thing and you expect a different result, then because we can't be doing the mistake has happened in some years back. And you see, this whole thing started, this type of error started then, I would say late 80s into the 90s coming. That's where this whole thing started gradually from there, from the 90s coming. Because in the 80s, the Christianity was a solid.
Yes.
I mean, Sunday school is solid. Now, how many churches even have Sunday school? How many churches do teaching services? So it's like people have no knowledge about the Bible. All they know is just preaching, yeah, preaching. But the word, in terms of being taught the word, where they can ask questions, they don't understand this, they can get clarity, is not being done.
Which is the foundation, and we are mixing it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are mixing it, then what are we building on? And that is why today we don't have any love in the church. Just this evening, I was thinking about the love of Christ in the church. In fact, outside church, you have a lot of love being shown to you than in the church. Years ago, if I'm going through family crisis, I can share with a prayer partner, I can share with somebody, and they can pray.
Yeah.
So whatever I'm going through, emotional thing, whatever I'm going through, I can share with people, and they will stand together with me, they will pray for me. But today, go and tell somebody that is what I'm going through. I mean, a group, maybe your Bible study group, before you realize, all over the places.
What's up?
if you are going through somebody who is praying for you, if you are going through somebody who is even talking to you, who is even comforting you, nobody. But go to I started going to gym not too long ago. I started for too long and I had some back pain. And I started going to gym. I saw something that I was thinking about. I said, wow. Now, I told the owner of the place that that is what I'm going through. So he told one of the instructors, and said, oh, help him. Then, I think about a week or two, the instructor didn't come. So there was this person who had come to train.
Oh, okay.
He's not an instructor. He has come to the gym to just exercise and go. He asked me, your instructor didn't come. So then come and let me take you through an exercise.
The routine, okay.
After 3 weeks, somebody also came. He also comes there. He has seen me and said, today have you done the exercise? I said, well, let me take you through. This one will help. And I said, so people can show true love.
Yeah.
Concern and help me, because they want the issue to be resolved. Whenever they come, they ask me, how is it now? Is there any improvement? Have you tried this? Have you tried that? But do we experience this in church? Mm-hmm. When the world rejects us,
where do we go? Serious.
The love of Christ is missing in the church.
It is.
It is because the foundation is broken. It's not strong anymore. The word of God, we don't have time because we are busy. And how can we grow in the word of God when we are busy and we don't have time to study? We don't have time for Bible studies. Everybody is busy. We never get time. However, we are able to get time for all other things except the word of God, except the church. People have time to go for all kinds of programs. They can sit there for hours and they are okay. But when they come to church, 1 hour, 2 hours, no. They'll be looking at their watches, and you have people coming to church and they are flipping through their phones. They are watching movies. Others are Facebooking.
Yeah.
There was a time somebody said that he booked somebody in the church. He said that the pastor was preaching and the person sent a message that the pastor is boring.
Hey.
Church.
Boring, pa.
He sent a message. So he said he saw the message and rebooked the person right there.
So he posted it online.
He said yes.
He has some old.
So this is where we've got into, and this is where we are now. The generation that we are going through, the generation that we have, and what we are going through.
It's very sad because, you see, you know, we talk about the Chinese Christians, and, you know, one cardinal principle that they go by is getting the foundation strong. And there's this verse that they use in grooming the new believers. Acts 14:22.
Okay.
Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. How many times have you heard a pastor preach from this verse? In this part of the western part of the world here, including Ghana, how many times have you heard a pastor preach from here before? Acts 14:22. You see, because if we are talking about the goodness, blessings, we will dare not go to this verse. No. That talks of we will go through much tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God. You see, so, but then these are the verses that over there in China, the North Korean and all those places, underground churches and all, these are some of the verses they use to encourage themselves. So even when you decide to be a Christian, they encourage you based on these verses, this one and others, that this is what you've joined. The difficulty, you'll be chased, the system will fight you, the security system. They encourage you, they let you understand the reality of the dangers involved in following Christ, taking up your cross to follow him. But on this side, we will dare not talk about this, because we say when you say this, it will scare people.
Yes.
So they talk about this, and this emboldens them to even hold on tighter to the Jesus they believe in. This is the difference. So they are told the reality, and they love the reality. So they decide that, oh, okay, if this is the Jesus, then all out, I'll follow fully. Whereas over here, oh, come, Jesus will give you visa. Come, Jesus will give you marriage. Come, Jesus will bless you. You know, so look at the difference. So he comes to Christ, quotes, Christ in quotes, after a while, if he doesn't get the blessing, he doesn't get whatever he was told he will get, he was promised to get, he doesn't get. Then what's the big deal? Why should I still be in this Christ? I'll go. So look at the difference. It's sad, because you see, if we don't get the foundation right, and I believe parents listening, we've been discussing about the children, the teenagers at school and all that. You see, let's to also fix the issue we are dealing with, I believe they should get the fundamentals of Christ right.
That is what we had when we were young.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those who are into occultism, those who are into drugs, you see, they want to have people for good. So they are not really so much bothered these days. That has been their plan, and that is still their plan. Their target is not the adults.
Yeah.
They want to target the young people.
Catch them young.
Yes. So if they have them, because adults, by 20 years, you are gone. But there's somebody at the age of 15 years, it means that they have more years to live. So they can use them more. And this is where the church is also not getting it. Those into alcohol, those into drugs, are targeting young people. And somebody has said that if you want to destroy a nation,
target the youth.
If you want to destroy a nation, years to come, if you want to destroy a nation, target the youth, not the adults.
Yeah.
And that is where the devil is also looking at. So the devil is targeting young people, primary GHS, HASHS. Once he has them, then That is all. It means that years to come, these people are going to be the leaders. They are going to implement policies. They are going to decide for institutions. They are going to decide for nations. So if these young people, they have them, it means that, they need not to worry. They need not to do anything after some years. But the church are also not targeting the Sunday school. So, you go to places and they don't have, they have comfortable seats for adults. They don't have a place for Sunday
school.
Yeah. The children, they don't have even a place for them. They don't have any, better place for the youth ministry. When it comes to even teaching materials, how many Sunday school teachers or children ministry teachers go through proper training? They just invite them. Somebody's a professional teacher. If you are interested in children's work, come and help. Forgetting that the pastors have gone through years of training so that they can really handle and lead the flock.
Yeah.
Forgetting that this is also an area that somebody must be specialized.
It's true.
To be able to handle them, you need to really focus and feed them so that they can help you to develop the leader, future leaders of the church. But the church have neglected this. They are not doing anything. I move around a bit to also know what is happening in other churches, their youth and children ministry, and realize that they are not really doing much for children and youth ministry. But they are the future of the church. When you go to some churches, they say the youth are the backbone of the church, the youth are this and that and that. But what are you doing if they are the backbone? How strong are they in the word of God? How strong are they in prayer? How strong are they in the studying of the word of God? How strong are they in evangelism? Because they need to also talk to their peers and bring them to the church. But they are not doing that because they have not been taught to do it. They don't have the foundation, then believe you me, the church that we have, we don't have any future.
So you see the issue, because if the Christians in the secondary schools were getting the good foundation from, it's good, we thank God for SU, which is filling the gap. But you see, as parents, we should see it from this angle. It's not somebody's responsibility to train up our children. It's the primary responsibility of the parents. At home first,
yes,
to train up the children. Then second comes the church. Then go to school, then SU or something. Yes, thank God for that. But if you, the parents, we shake that responsibility at home and expect the church to fill that gap, and the church too fails, now then the last, stronghold to help then becomes the SU at school. So if the child misses that one too, then it's like, what else? You see, so the first line of defense, the parents at home. And this is where there's a lot of challenges, because a lot of parents themselves are spiritually not sound. Imagine some parents who fit in this category of the survey of not believing the Trinity or having doubts in their minds about the Trinity, still wondering if the Ten Commandments is relevant or not in our time, and having all sorts of that. You see, the worry about modern day Christianity is people have all sorts of weird assumptions and questions in their minds. It's some of these surveys that really brings out what is in their mind. Some pastors will be shocked if they are to do these surveys, even in their own congregations. They'll be shocked by the statistics they will see.
Definitely.
So you have them sitting and speaking all sorts of, jargon, saying all sorts of Christian, but in their hearts, they are having some doubts.
They have a lot of doubt. In fact, if you meet young people and you ask them questions, or you give the opportunity to ask you questions, you realize that the young people of these days have a lot of questions on their mind. They are exposed to all kinds of information, materials, teachings, and so they are so confused. They are at a crossroad, and they are crossroad. You have a lot of roads ahead of them, so they don't know whether they should take left. In fact, our days, I mean, we're a bit
okay. It was clear cut.
Yes, because we were not so much exposed. Yeah. But today, this is a time that parents should really, really direct their children as where to go, help them to really be focused. So other than that, I mean, anything will distract them and lead them to any place, because the churches, some fake pastors are giving all kinds of misinformation. Some even don't believe there's a heaven, and he says he's a believer of the word of the Bible, and the person says that God is not so wicked to punish us, to punish his own creation. So there's no heaven.
Yeah,
this is your heaven,
and they make it sound so true. If you see, so when you don't have the foundation, you fall for it.
That is it.
Because you see, they use logic and psychology. So you see, when they are those who are coming with the twisted doctrines and all that, they are very good in psychology and then the logical approach of arguments, and that's what they use to convince the weak minds and those who are not grounded in the faith and in the word. And it's important, but one thing which I think is missing, and I believe SU, you can also look at how we can have a curriculum along the SU books and all that, the issue of apologetics being taught. You see, and the church needs it now. The body of Christ is missing, because apologetics, yes, it's being taught in the Bible schools. The pastors are taught at the Bible schools, and they finish, and they themselves, they are not teaching it to their members.
They are not teaching the churches, yes.
So a pastor has been taught apologetics whilst in the Bible school, but the question is, has he taught his members apologetics? Because apologetics is being defending the faith.
The faith, yes.
So yes, why are you a Christian? If you this question, if you ask, you call 100 teenagers now, the SU or church, wherever, ask them this question, and you'll be shocked by the results, the answers you get. Why are you a Christian? Why do you want to believe to the end? Why? I mean, you see, is there apologetics that the Chinese and the Eastern Christians are very strong on? Because that's the foundation. Because if you get that foundation right, when they put a gun on your head, you will not deny Christ. Because they know why. They know what they believe. They know why they believe, and they know when and how and the future, the good in whatever they believe, he believes in. He knows it's a good thing. But what are we teaching here? Apologetics, zero. Almost zero. Because people are not being taught to defend the faith. And it's a missing link in... You see, so when the apologetics is missing, then it breeds... It's easier to be a lukewarm Christian. After all, what's the big deal? Let me compromise a little. You see, so we are addressing the issue of having Christians who can stand in the face of the evils in the schools, the temptations and all. And some of these things should be looked at, the apologetics. Strengthening their faith to believe what they believe in, even to the point of death. So the average Chinese Christian, I mean, if it comes to the point of death, he will choose death than to escape. Because Iranian Christians, they've
been taught.
I watched one, and it's like prison. The Chinese, there's one video I saw. One Chinese pastor, he's gone to the prison now. The prison, it doesn't move him, because they see it as a badge of honor. Like in the military, where you get your promotion from colonel to brigadier general to major general and all that honor of being I've been to the prison 5 years is like a badge of honor. I was able to go to prison for 5 years because of Christ. It's not a shameful thing, it's an honor that they are proud of. They cherish it, and it even emboldens them. If I will still have to go again, I'm ready to go. But what is the difference between how they think and us, apologetics?
What do we know about our faith that we are teaching the children so that they can grow and live with it?
Yeah.
What are we even teaching? Now you go to churches, people come without Bibles.
I said,
people come to church and we claim it's on our phone.
Mm-hmm.
But how many of us study the Bible? What do we know about salvation? What do we know about death and resurrection? What do we even know about heaven? Yeah. Because the place we are preparing ourselves to go and live forever. What do we know about? You see, there are teachings that we need to take our churches through. There are things we need to take our members through. Unfortunately, these are things that we've stopped doing because years ago, churches used to teach us about heaven. Churches used to teach us about going through trials and temptation, how you can stand for Christ, how you can survive. But these things we have stopped. We are no more doing them. So it is really affecting us in our generation. We are not able to defend our faith because we don't have what it takes to defend the faith. And this is what is lacking. We don't have what it takes to defend our faith. Recently, I heard somebody who is saying that, a Muslim was saying that we are taught to recite so we can recite the Quran. How many of us can even say or recite even 10 Bible verses? I mean, you have just few people who will be able to do that because we don't know it. We are not being taught. We are not taking through various topics that will help us to develop our faith in the Lord. We are not taking through topics that will help us to grow in the Lord. We've ignored all these things. So what do we have? When Christ was tempted, he had something to defend himself. Now, what do we have as a Christian? And this is what we need to really, really stand in these end times, because we have all kinds of things that are coming to us every now and then, from television, social media, from TV, from radio, everywhere. So if you know, you'll be able to stand against. But if you don't know, any wind that blows will blow you away. And that is the challenge that we have here. So we are asking that parents and churches should really, really have a second look at their children ministry, have a second look at their youth ministry, if they want to have a future for their churches. I'm so much concerned about the future of churches, and the future of churches are the young ones, that are the children and youth ministry. Very soon, all the adults will go away, but the young ones are going to take over. So how we want to see the church in the near future depends on what we do for the children ministry, what we do for the youth ministry. If we are helping them today, we are going to help our churches tomorrow. If we are not doing that, then it means that we don't have any future tomorrow.
You know, I talked about this American pastor who was talking about the Chinese.
Yeah.
It's just 4 minutes. Yeah, we have some time. Let me just play it briefly, if the 4 minutes. Yeah.
With this story, we go to China from time to time, and we train leaders. And this time we brought up 22 leaders from the Hunan province, and they rode 13 hours on a train to get to a hotel that they came up two by two in these elevators so as to not draw any attention. And then they got to a hotel room, a little apartment room. It's only about 700 square feet in the little living room, no air conditioning, hardwood floor, 22 sat there. I came in, and when you teach in China, you start at 8 in the morning and you don't get done till 5 at night. You teach the whole day. They were sitting there, all 22 of them, and I looked around and I said, "Now, if we get caught, what will happen to me?" They said, "Oh, you'll get deported in 24 hours and we'll go to prison for 3 years. I said, "You're kidding. How many of you have been in prison for your faith?" Out of 22, 18 raised their hands. I thought, no way. I looked at him and I said, you 22 people, how many people do you oversee?" Because they were all of these small group leaders, underground church leaders in the Hunan province. I said, "How many, if you counted up all the people under your jurisdiction, how many would it be?" And they counted them up and they said, little over 20 million. I said, "What?" See, we forget there's 1.3 billion people in China. This is crazy. Well, I had 15 Bibles and I passed them out. Obviously, seven didn't get them. And I said, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and we're going to read it. And just then, one lady handed hers to somebody next to her. And I thought, interesting. Well, we turned there anyway, and as we started reading it, I understood why she gave it away. She had memorized the whole thing. She just recited the whole chapter. When it was done, I went over to her at a break, and I said, you recited the whole chapter. She says, oh yes, I've memorized many chapters. I said, where did you memorize so many chapters? She said, in prison. I said, you have much time in prison. So I said, but don't they confiscate the Bible? She said, yes. So people bring in scriptures written on pieces of paper and they bring it in. So I said, but then if they find that piece of paper on you, won't they confiscate that? She said, oh yes, that's why you memorize it as fast as you can. Because even though they can take the paper away, they can't take what's hidden in your heart. I thought, wow. Well, after 3 days, you fall in love with these people. And when it was done, I said, how can I pray for you? I'm going to go back to America. And you guys have been just so wonderful. How can I pray for you? They said, you know, Wayne, you guys can gather like this whenever you want to in America. We can't. Could you pray that one day we'll be just like you? And I looked at them and I said, I will not do that. Big, incredulous eyes looked at me and they said, why? I said, because you guys rode a train for 13 hours to get here. In my country, if you've got to drive more than an hour, people don't come. You sat on a wooden floor for 3 days. In my country, if people have to sit more than 40 minutes, they leave. You sat not only here for 3 days on a hard wooden floor, but you did it without air conditioning. In my country, if it's not padded pews and air conditioning, people don't often come back. In my country, we have an average of 2 Bibles per family. We don't read any of them. You hardly have any Bibles, and you memorize them from pieces of paper. I will not pray that we become like you become like us, but I will pray that we become just like you.
Wow. This video, anytime I watch it, it's like this is fascinating. I mean, you see the difference. You know, I read a book. Heavenly Minded, Heavenly Man, Watchman Nee, I think.
Okay.
One of those Eastern people. And I mean, you read about the endurance, the basically the prison, the torture, and everything. And I mean, you realize the Christianity we are talking about, there's something wrong. We are joking. We are joking because you see, but it's a bit easier to compare the Bible to what they are going through, because you know Paul was largely in the prisons when he wrote the letters, and so now you reflect it on us, like the pastor is talking about modern, we in the Western reflect the word of God on us and look at what the early disciples went through, how they lived. They held on to their faith even till death, and we are not ready to endure anything.
No, not at all.
Nothing. Not ready.
Not at all.
So I believe the foundation should be
And that is what the children are also learning. That in school, somebody in school want to drive Porsche. Somebody in the school want to have a lot of money. Somebody want to have iPhones. Students, JHS, SHS want to have this and that and that. They don't want to go through anything. They just want to have it because they have not been taught. They have not been taught about the word of God. So they don't know what it takes. So when the person is going through any kind of hardship, no, this is not part of my life. It's not my portion. So I must get it by whatever means. I must get it, because the basic foundation, the basic principles that we need to have to help us to grow, we have not taught our children, we have not taught our youth. So they have nothing
to hold on to,
to help them.
Yeah, because you see, in the midst of all that is happening in the secondary schools, as we've been discussing for 6 weeks or 5 weeks and all that, it's the solution, obviously, is the Word of God, is the Christian faith. I mean, is the Christianity we are talking about and all that. That is the solution.
Mm.
So, if we are going to prefer a solution, then the solution must be right. Because if you are going to just come up with the same lukewarm dadaba type of Christianity, it won't match the occultism and the evils happening in the schools. No, it's no match to it. It's no match to it. This is all. This is the challenge.
And you see, these young ones that we don't have time for them, that they think people don't have time. People spend out the whole night. Just imagine a student goes to the cemetery the whole night alone. They can sleep. They go to the cemetery for 3 nights. Go to the cemetery. And we cannot spend 1 hour, 2 hours to study the Word of God.
No, but that means we have to teach them. The whole thing has to be taught. So, you know, this evening's edition, this one I think is clearly spirit inspired, spirit led, because that wasn't how it was going, but the Spirit led it in the way He wanted it to go. And you know, it's more of, you know, an introspection of we the parents should assess ourselves. Are we fit to be in the position to be able to groom them to be able to face the challenges in the schools?
Because people are teaching them to do otherwise.
That's the
issue. People are teaching them. So some of the children can start 3 hours, 2 hours reading some of the books that they introduce them to. They spend hours.
The books of Moses.
They spend hours to do that. But we cannot sit down for just 1 hour, 30 minutes Bible studies with our kids. We can't do that. If you don't do it, people will teach them something else. And at the end of the day, we are going to lose it as parents.
Okay, I think this discussion has just begun. It's 9 o'clock, so we'll just have to pause it. God willing, next week we'll continue from where we are leaving off this evening. Because you see, it's interesting and it's important. So God willing, next week we'll continue from there. I believe you've learned a lot. It's recorded, it will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and in the Telegram group, so you can listen to it again and, you know, reflect on this whole discussion we've had. Assess yourself, ask the questions, and I mean, really know that there's work to be done on ourselves as parents in order for us to also help the teenagers out there in the schools and wherever they find themselves. Thank you for listening. This is Eben, and the program is Issues of Life, the station Spirit 88.3 FM. Greetings to our listeners online and wherever they are in the world. Good night, and God bless you.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com. To all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East.